141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic are League Cup champions again as they see off Motherwell to land Brendan Rodgers a fourth successive trophy. Bit of controversy raging on though over the penalty which rounded off the win and saw Cedric Kiepre sent off. Alex McLeish says he's not been approached by Rangers. That's despite some bookies not taking any more bets on him returning to Ibrox. And we'll look back on the rest of the weekend action, including Neil Lennon accusing Hamilton Accies of acting like cavemen. Got some cavemen of our own in here. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are with us as always.
How dare you?
Yabba dabba doo. As all cavemen say, you're too young to remember the Flintstones, but there
I
you
remember
are.
The Flintstones. Yeah. Come on. Anyway, let's kick off, obviously, with the events at Hampden yesterday, Hugh Keevans. Listen, controversy over this penalty is going to rage on, and it will for the next 2 hours, I am sure. However, let's start with the football. Let's start with the success for Celtic. A fourth consecutive domestic trophy for Brendan Rodgers. And it looks like the domestic dominance is showing no sign of stopping.
Well, a Motherwell supporting pal of mine texted me last night to say, how many times are you going to say a down payment on a second treble? That wasn't all that he said in it, but that's the clean bit. And you have to applaud Brendan Rodgers for the transformation that he has performed on that Celtic team and on the club in general, and on the supporters. He has brought back thousands of fans in the 17 months that he has been there. So while not playing at their very best yesterday, Celtic nevertheless had it in them to win the cup. And in James Forrest, they had a player who is the latest one that you could say has been transformed under Brendan Rodgers.
You know, for 48 minutes Motherwell did well. You know, Steve Robinson, when we listened to him on Friday night on this programme, he's saying, if we go head-to-head with Celtic and try and play them at football, we'll get murdered because they're a far, far better team than us. So he's had to change it. He's had to get a system to play against Celtic. And it worked. I thought Celtic were, I wouldn't say they were poor in the first half, but they weren't allowed to play because Motherwell were in and about them. Sometimes it, the physical side of it, but, you know, they just denied Celtic room. And you didn't really see Celtic in the first half. But the moment Celtic got the goal, then they opened up. You can see the difference. The penalty kick, which is never a penalty kick. I mean, that cancels the game out right away. When the goal goes in at 2-0, you're down to 10 men. That's the end of the big picture for Motherwell. But Motherwell did well for 48 minutes.
And in many ways, Hugh Keevans, it was fitting that two guys who definitely split opinion amongst the Celtic fans, James Forrest at one end and Craig Gordon at the other. So James Forrest produces the finish, a lovely finish at that to get Celtic off and running, and Craig Gordon keeps Celtic's lead intact just moments later up the other end with that save from Louis Moult, which he admits was one of the best of his career.
Yeah, after the Paris Saint-Germain game, there were Celtic supporters who wondered if it might be time to bring back Doris de Vries. But when he joined Celtic and when he made such a start to his Celtic career, I did say that Craig Gordon might have been the best Celtic goalkeeper I'd ever seen, and was ridiculed at the time for saying so. One save yesterday doesn't make that the case, but after a 7-goal trouncing in Paris, it has to have some kind of effect on him, being the goalkeeper. And although he was not called into action very often yesterday, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Louis Moult header, you thought to yourself, equaliser, and it was a magnificent instinctive save.
I think it's a turning point in the game, Hugh. You know, because how many times have you watched Louis Moult do that this season with a header? You know, he's terrific in the air, and he got in front of his man, and it's one of these near post ones. He just dinked it with the head, and the goalkeeper, which all the good goalkeepers do, when they jump, the two legs go up, the two arms go out, and it's a fantastic save.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, that ball goes in the back of the net. And Craig Gordon kept her out. And I mean, Motherwell get back into the game. You don't know what's going to happen after that, but it's a fantastic save.
The fascinating thing for me, Gordon, Wednesday night, Fir Park, Motherwell Celtic, we're back to the league. We're back to Celtic going for 66 in a row, undefeated on a domestic basis. And one or two scores to be settled on the pitch, I think we could be in for a feisty night.
Well, Brendan Rodgers says the players showed their character as they won the fourth domestic trophy in a row against Motherwell at Hampden. The Celtic boss insists Craig Thompson was right to give Celtic a penalty after Scott Sinclair went down in the box, but he says he doesn't want the decision to overshadow their achievements.
It was a brilliant victory for us today. I think that we had to tick a few character boxes after sort of the midweek, and yet again the players produced. It's always going to be difficult for us, you know, how Motherwell have started the season and the confidence they have in terms of how they play. We're going to have to be patient today and then wait for our moments. And once we got the first goal, we then settled into our rhythm. But now it's our, you know, fourth trophy in 12 months. It's a phenomenal achievement, really. But a huge credit to the players, because their hunger and desire to keep playing and having that belief and to keep a clean sheet was also important for us today.
What did you think of the penalty decision, Stephen Robinson feeling a bit hard done by?
Yeah, it's always that way, isn't it? Whenever you know, I look at it and I think it's a penalty. You know, I think if you're correct, it's a great ball and Scotty makes the run and is getting there. And obviously the defender cannot get there. You know, so he impedes him. He pulls him, so I think it's a penalty. I'm not sure what the rules are now, so I'm not sure whether it's a sending off. I think I'm sure Stephen will feel a bit harsh with it being a sending off, but I'm not sure what the ruling is on it. But I definitely thought it was a penalty. I think he's impeded Scotty as he's in the box, and Musa scores it. So I think what was probably, they'll feel a little bit harsh on is the red card, but I don't know what the rules are on that, so, because they change so much.
Hugh, have you changed your mind on it overnight? You, I'm sure, have seen it many more times. It wasn't a penalty for you yesterday. Still of the same mindset?
Yeah, and carrying out my own media survey of former Celtic players who are involved in punditry, I listened to Chris Sutton last night say, no, never a penalty. I listened to Neil Lennon say, a ridiculous decision. And I read this morning Chris Commons saying no penalty, no red card. So I'm only citing three former Celtic players by way of showing people who believe that it's all a media conspiracy, that all facets of the media, including three former Celtic players, one a former Celtic manager, agreeing never a penalty.
You know, you asked the question, Gordon, you asked the question, you say, well, was there contact? The answer to that is yes, there was. There was slight contact. Was it enough to put the player down? And in my opinion, and as you said, there are a few ex-players as well, no, it wasn't. So I just didn't think it was a very, very soft penalty. And that changes the game. As soon as you get a man down and the penalty goes in 2-0, it's drained away from life. You know, and that's what happened to Motherwell.
David is in Cowcaddens. Hi, David.
Hello, chaps.
What's your point tonight, David?
Derek. You said it's not a penalty.
Yes.
Then you say, but there was contact. There was contact in the box, that was a penalty. Let me give you an example first, Derek. But 3 weeks ago, we played to Burnley.
Yep.
Two each, literally about 2 minutes to go. And very, very similar circumstances, actually. Down by the byline, we think they're ready to cut in his right foot. The Hibs player, his arm, spun him a bit. Sinclair, to his credit, never went down.
Yep.
And the referee was 4 yards away.
Yep.
We never get the penalty. Everybody, every pundit said, oh, it's a stonewaller. Sinclair deserves credit for not going down.
Yep.
So,
and I think it
yesterday
was.
In a cup final, he feels the same thing. And
no.
He thinks, well, you know what?
Listen, I'm down here. Listen, David, it's completely different to the two of them. I agree with you. I think the one against Hibs probably was a penalty. He's held him back twice as he's gone at the box. This was
Oh,
yeah, very much so. I just didn't think it was enough. For him to go down, Sinclair. I didn't think it was a penalty at all.
Derek, I think not
all contact in the box leads to a penalty.
I would agree with that. But I think the situation that makes the Sinclair one is that if he doesn't touch him, he's going to get a shot away. What I will agree is, as I said to the guy who was screening there, sorry, I forget his name, the sending off's ludicrous. I mean, that's just nonsense. I don't know how on earth Thompson's seen a sending off there.
Well,
he's wide of the post.
Yeah, but therein lies the problem, David, because if you do see it as that goal-scoring opportunity, the rules changed, remember, so that if he goes for the ball, you know, and he catches him in the foot, then you get away with the yellow card. But when it's a tug or a pull or anything on the upper body, it's seen as being deliberate, and that's why it becomes a sending off. So it's almost like the two have to go hand in hand.
I suppose, to be fair, the boy Cipri should have been off in about 8-9 minutes because the tackle in Dembele was absolutely scandalous. You know, I mean, that was, I don't know what he was thinking there because he was so far over the top of the ball. But it doesn't disguise the fact that it was a penalty. You know, I mean, people can say, I heard Stephen Robinson, a guy who I really admire. I think he's a complete and utter breath of fresh air to the game up here. And as you said a couple of weeks ago, you look about this country just now, Stevie Clark, Oney Coyle, I like this boy Robinson, Brendan, who Rangers will get in, we don't know. But there's some good management up here, you know.
You know, David, you just mentioned 2 minutes ago, you know, the three former Celtic players all said never a penalty, never a sending off. Everybody's got a different opinion. That's why we've got a show, because everybody's entitled to their opinion.
The thing we have to remember...
If the three former Celtic players were in a Celtic jersey, they'd be screaming for the penalty to them.
Yeah. David, let me ask you this, David, because it's the ultimate hypothetical, and I don't know if we can actually put ourselves in that mindset. Had it been given at the other end, David, how do you think you would have felt?
Honestly and truthfully, I like to think I'm a fair guy. I mean, if he gave the penalty, I would have seen it for what it was. You don't put your arms on these wee wingers in penalty boxes. It's, you know, you're getting the decision. There's a famous, I can't remember who started it. Don't give the referee a chance to make a decision. Don't do it.
Anyway, we'll have to take your word for it that you would not object had it been given at the other end of the park.
I like to think I'm a very fair person, I'm very fair-minded, and I definitely wouldn't.
But let me tell you, you would be in the minority. You would be in a tiny minority. And the thing about penalty kicks, and no one ever accepts this, but it's true. It swings in roundabouts. It's what goes around comes around. I said it yesterday on the programme. I repeat it tonight. When Celtic were denied the Stonewall penalty of all time against Inverness Cali Thistle in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, when John Hughes took Inverness to the final and won the trophy, it was an incredible decision, a grotesque error. Yesterday, I think another grotesque error took place, but this time Celtic were the beneficiaries, the victims.
This is why I had to laugh at this tweet coming in from Anthony Neely. He says, we're doing nothing but highlighting the penalty incident. I don't remember this outrage from the media with the Josh Meekings incident. I wonder why, Anthony. That incident kept this programme going for approximately 5 months. So I don't
And on the Monday night following the incident, on the Monday night in this studio, I said that the referee and the assistant behind the goal had made
in fact, we're
such,
still talking about it, so forget
such
the 5 months.
A grotesque error that they should have been stood down until the end of the season. So fans always say no one ever discusses this. You know, there you are on the Monday after that incident. I said that they should have been stood down for the rest of the season. Their lack of judgment was so bad.
Let's hear from Stephen Robinson on it then. We've already heard from Brendan Rodgers. It's funny how these things work out. Brendan Rodgers thinks it was a penalty. Stephen Robinson doesn't.
First and foremost, I'm extremely proud of the players. You know, first half, I thought we were really good. We could have been better on the ball, but our organisation and shape, I think we threw Celtic. We certainly weren't dominating proceedings, as most people thought. The things we could have affected in the game, we had possession of the ball when they scored, we give it away cheaply, and we could have got tighter for the shot and goal. That's what happens when you play against extremely good players. But as for that, the game's over as a contest once that decision's made. You know, for me, there's no contact and a red card. The game's effectively over as a contest.
Yeah, how frustrating is that when you see a decision like that changes the game for you?
It completely changes the game. You know, Louis had an unbelievable save from Craig just before that. You know, Tierney catches Louis as we're going into the box. He's 1v1 ready to finish. No penalty. And obviously the decision completely changes the game. Make no mistake, listen, congratulations to Celtic. They're a top football team. We all acknowledge that. But it's hard to take in that manner. I'd rather got pumped 6-7-0 by them. But when the game's affected by that decision, and it certainly was, I don't think there's anybody in the room would argue about it, the game's over, you know, because they're hard enough to play against by 11 men.
What Cedric had to say after, you could see by the look in his face.
The kid's crying. He's 20 years of age. Do you know what I mean? He hasn't touched them. He hasn't had a finger on them. But I'm not one of these managers that come and criticise other people's players. I'll keep my dignity. He hasn't touched them. So it's hard for him, the boy, to take. He's been sent off in his first ever cup final. But we'll deal with it. We're not a team that lie down, as you can see. We went toe-to-toe with them in the first half. And we'll pick ourselves up.
Again, to try and keep a sense of perspective about everything here, I don't believe that the award of their penalty won Celtic the cup. I believe Celtic would have won the cup anyway. Motherwell for the first 45 minutes were terrific in terms of subduing Celtic. Celtic were also flat. There were flat performances from Moussa Dembele, from Scott Sinclair, players who lit up last season, who have not reached that level of performance this season. And at halftime, you wondered if the tie, the cup final, might in fact go to extra time and even penalty kicks. But James Forrest changed the whole complexion of the game with an exquisite goal. And if Craig Gordon makes a magnificent save to prevent an equaliser while praising the goalkeeper, that's also what goalkeepers are there for. So I believe that the penalty, while a very bad decision from Craig Thompson, did not materially influence the outcome of the game. Celtic, I believe, would have gone on and won anyway.
John is in the East End. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
I'm not bad, John. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I was Derek.
Hi, John.
I was at the game yesterday, and I was in the south stand, and from where I was looking, it looked like a penalty. But I've seen it back, and I agree there was minimal contact. I've seen them given, I've also seen them not given. But my point is, and the last caller kind of touched on it, the tackle the guy done, I think it was like the 10th minute, had the referee seen that for what it was, they would have been down to 10 men then, and then they would have probably got the route, or the 6 and the 7 that Robinson had mentioned. But nobody seems to be talking about that tackle. It seems to have just went unseen. All they're going on about is the penalty.
Well, you were at the game, John. So therefore, you didn't take the opportunity to listen to us on the programme yesterday.
No, I know. So, celebrating last night.
Yeah, quite right. But when you say nobody is talking about it, you're forgetting there was a 4-hour programme here talking about it yesterday.
The last caller mentioned it as well.
Yeah.
Let's deal with that one, John. I mean, let's deal with that. Should that have been a red card for you?
At the time, I said yellow. Mark Wilson said yellow. I think in a contact sport, you will get bad tackles. It was ill-judged, and it was a poor tackle, and Moussa Dembele got a sore one. But players get sore ones. You know, it goes on. I'm still not convinced that it was an automatic red card.
Yeah.
John, let me ask John. You obviously thought that one was a red card, John. Hughes, not quite convinced. What did you make of? Because it was a couple of incidents in close succession, weren't there? When Dembele then went in on Carol McHugh, do you think that should have been a red as well?
I've seen them given as well, but I think obviously when Hugh and Mark seen it at the time, obviously they've only seen it as it happens, and you can only take what you could see at the time. But it's the fact that, okay, maybe the referee maybe never seen it for what it was, but there's a lineman there on either side of the park. Surely
they would see these things as well. They're even further away.
I know, I do get that, but what I'm saying is, had the referee seen that for what it was, that I thought it was a horrendous tackle. Yeah. I thought it was a career-ending tackle.
I don't think it was as bad as that, John, but I agree with you. We've seen red cards for that. I think you're absolutely right. But what we're missing as well, I mean, Kieran Tierney was a lucky man as well. I didn't realise, you know, the little click on Louis Moult.
Oh, is this Louis Moult up the other end?
But you know what? But the Motherwell players never put up their hands and screamed. The only one who did it was Louis Moult himself. Obviously, he knows he's been clipped as he's going in to try and get it.
What did you make of that one, John?
I don't really, to be honest with you, I'm not just saying this, Gordon, I don't remember that one, I don't remember that.
John, do you know what I'm going to say to you, you being a Celtic supporter? You remember the way the club was when Ronnie Dyla was in his last days, losing to Rangers on penalty kicks at Hampden. You remember those European nights where they closed the top tier of the stand. You remember the fitness levels of the Celtic players. And while they won two titles in a row, the standard of play dropped all the while. And now Celtic are Brendan Rodgers, who first of all broke the Lisbon Lions record of 26 consecutive matches without defeat, then broke Willie Mailey's record of 63 matches consecutively without defeat on a domestic basis, which had stood for 100 years. You now see Brendan Rodgers winning four domestic trophies in a row, first manager to do so for four decades since Jock Stein did it. You haven't mentioned any of that at all.
No, I'm only talking about yesterday's game, though. That was the whole
yesterday's game meant that Brendan Rodgers had equaled Jock Stein's record.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't mentioned Brendan Rodgers and what was achieved.
Okay, thanks to John in the East End. We'll hear from the man himself, Scott Sinclair. That's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson are with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Three guesses what all the calls have been about so far?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Penalties.
Well, listen, and we don't want to talk about it all night, so if you want to talk about something different, we are here for you. 01419511025. But I sense there's a bit of legs left in this yet, Hugh Evans. Let's speak to William. I don't know if you're keeping a poll, Hugh Evans. What have we had? Two Celtic fans so far.
Never a penalty for the fans.
Okay. No, they said it was a penalty.
Yeah. Are you not listening to what they're saying?
Come on, Hugo. William's in Hamilton. How are you, William?
How are you doing? Can I speak to Hugh?
Always listen.
Good evening, Hugh.
Hi there.
I was sitting down in my son's house this afternoon, and he's got one of them modern tellies that I haven't got Hugh. It reruns it.
Uh-huh. Hugh won't have one of them either, William. Don't worry.
I'm lucky I can fix the remote control, but anyway, I was watching this house, Hugh, and I couldn't believe it. 5 minutes before the penalty incident, Stuart Armstrong's bursting through in the middle of the park, and the Motherwell players pulls him. The referee stops the game and books him. So he's got a book. It was the same incident. I couldn't even believe it, Hugh. We rerun it about three times, and I haven't heard MD talking about it. Just in the middle of the park, nothing. And the thing was, Armstrong didn't go down. Everybody's saying you've got to go down. He didn't go down. I don't know if you mind the incident, but the Motherwell player got booked. So to me, the referee's going to give the penalty, even if he didn't go down.
The thing about this, Hugh Evans, is what I'm realising, and I suppose this is the same when we have debates. Everyone's got their opinion, which is absolutely fine, but what I don't understand is people who are coming on and saying, it's obviously a penalty, and if you think anything else, you're off your nut, and vice versa. You know, there clearly is a grey area here. Obviously, that's why, as you mentioned, Neil Lennon, Chris Sutton, Mark Wilson didn't think it was a penalty. Yeah. And on the other hand, lots of our callers tonight think it was. So it's clearly an issue for debate. It's clearly not a stonewaller. But the problem is, when it's something like a pull, as William points out, you're then left to try and gauge force and how much Cedric Kiprey pulled, if that's the right word, Scott Sinclair. And there are only two men who know the force of that.
Yeah.
Stephen Robinson said he didn't touch him. That's probably wrong. Let's point that out, because there was a hand on the chest. But the rest, you can only use your own two eyes and try and interpret it the way you see it.
Listen, we live in a culture of blame and argument. And, you know, William has watched it over and over again, clearly has watched the whole game over and over again. And, you know, I could accept William's point about Stuart Armstrong. I could also refer to Simonovic putting his elbow into Ryan Bowman's face. We could go on all night about he did this, then he did that. But ordinarily, William would regard Neil Lennon as a Celtic icon and would have nothing said against him. Likewise, Chris Sutton, and likewise, Chris Commons. And in all three instances, those Celtic men said it was a ridiculous decision and was not a penalty. I only bring them into the conversation
just to show that it's a matter of opinion.
Yes.
And it's not.
And because people automatically assume that the press have it in for Celtic.
In these tweets, for instance, Paddy's Hame has been in touch. He says, it's no surprise that Gordon Duncan is harping on about the penalty and ignoring the assault on Dembele. Paddy, we've talked about the tackle on Dembele three times. Now this is four times in half an hour. So if you're going to get in touch, try and tell the truth. That tends to help.
You know what makes even, they're just getting away from it a little bit. I watched the Man United game, and Romelu Lukaku was cited The ball came in, and I think he was maybe tugged, and he's got his heel back, and he's actually kicked the defender. So they've shown it again, and there's three men looked at that this morning and went, two of them, they all couldn't agree, all three have to agree that it was maybe awarded a yellow card or a red card. They couldn't agree, so he walks away. It's the most blatant thing you've ever seen in your life on the telly, and they still can't make their mind up.
When I say that we live in a culture of blame and argument, we contribute here on Super Scoreboard. We are on 2 hours Monday to Friday, that's 10 hours. We were on for 4 hours on Saturday, that's 14 hours. We were on for another four on Sunday, that's 18 hours. So we, of course, contribute to the culture of blame, call it debate if you like, argument. But no one should forget that when Brendan Rodgers got to Celtic, he had a job on his hands to re-energise a support and a team, and no one yet, and we've had David, John and William, no one yet has said, and incidentally, praise to Brendan Rodgers. Not one yet.
Celtic fans, although you want to move on from the penalty, you all seem to be calling up to talk about the penalty. So if you want to talk about something else, you know where we are. Sean's in Prestwick. Hi Sean.
Hi guys, how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, just in relation to yesterday's match, a lot of people's obviously been harping on about incidents in the match. I'll mention that later, but my first point is about Brendan Rodgers. An absolute phenomenon. Incredible what he's done at Celtic Football Club. 4 trophies in 12 months, not lost a domestic match. It's out of this world. It's incredible. It's superb. It's a pleasure to go and watch Celtic. It always has been for me anyway, but see, at the moment, it's just incredible. Sometimes words just fail when it comes to Hammond Celtic Football Club at the moment.
Well, that's the kind of thing I was looking for, Sean. It's taken us four callers to get to someone who praised Brendan Rodgers. One day Brendan Rodgers won't be there. I mean, that much, Sean, you would accept. One day he won't be there. I don't know when that day will be, but one day he won't be there, and the fans will truly miss him. So while he's here, I think he should get all the appreciation going.
You have to enjoy these moments. I've been going for years and years and years, and I've saw some pretty average teams and pretty poor managers at Celtic. But you still go week in and week out like the hardcore usually do. So you've got to savour these moments. People just think that Celtic have to turn up and turn teams over. We have to earn the right to win trophies. We have to earn the right to win 3 points against teams. You know, Motherwell played well yesterday for 45 minutes without really troubling us. And we weren't at our fluent best. But see, when the team came out in the second half, I mean, to me, there was only going to be one winner. If Celtic turned up at the moment, we will win the match. We have to play poor, and the opposition has to, their game has to rise. They have to be better than normal, in my opinion.
And that's what happened yesterday. You know, Celtic were flat in the first half. I don't know why Scott Sinclair does not resemble the player he was last season, the player who was the player of the year.
Yeah, but it's not just down to one guy. You know, we James Forrest yesterday, we guys come in for a lot of criticism, but I'll tell you what, he scores a lot of big goals in a lot of big games. Cup finals, Champions League, playoffs. You know, he's been at Celtic all his career.
But who criticises him? Celtic supporters.
Yeah, I know that, but football fans and some Celtic fans are very, very fickle. That's why I say you have to save it every moment. That was an incredible goal the wee man scored yesterday. Cuts inside, left foot, bottom corner.
Yeah,
and to me that was when the game was won. Now there's been a lot of talk about penalty decisions and red cards, etc. To me there's no debate. It was a penalty. People are saying, but he went down too easy. It's totally irrelevant. See, if people actually look at the rule book, and I include Neil Lennon, Chris Commons and Chris Sutton in that as well, because I looked at it today, and it clearly states, if you make an attempt to pull a player back where there's a goal scoring opportunity, it's a penalty, and because you give the penalty, you have to give the red card.
Sean, just stay on the line at the moment. We'll hear from Scott Sinclair, because I said we were going to do that and we haven't quite managed to squeeze it in. He says he had every right to go down in the game yesterday. We know that there's been a lot of criticism from some people, not from many people, amongst the Celtic support. And here's what he said in terms of that incident from the way he saw it.
It's always nice to pick up a trophy. There's a first one for this year, this season. And hopefully now we can keep going and getting the rest of them.
The penalty?
Yeah, well, I felt a tug on my arm and I went down. Well, that's what I felt in the game. I felt the defender pull my arm and I went down for it.
But you were the winners, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way we controlled the game, and you know, it took us 15 minutes to settle in, and we created chances, and it was great to get the win. It was always important, I think, for us is to keep winning, to keep picking up trophies, and obviously keep continuing what we're doing.
What does this result tell you about the character of the team, especially coming from Wednesday night into this, from a heavy defeat to winning your fourth trophy in a row?
I think in the characters in the in the team, we obviously, when we play a game, and sometimes if it doesn't go so well, we've got to leave it behind and move forward. And I think that's what we did to go into this game. We put things right by winning a trophy, and we obviously just got to continue what we're doing.
See, I always like to balance things up. There's a tweet coming in here, Hugh from Seymour. It says, I assume it doesn't suit Hugh's argument to point out that James McFadden said it was a penalty and red card in the paper. I think some of you guys are misinterpreting Hugh. He's not saying that because Chris Sutton or Neil Lennon said it wasn't a penalty, that therefore it wasn't. He's just trying to show that everyone has a different opinion, and sometimes it has nothing to do with where your allegiance lies. So your example of James McFadden is actually proving Hugh Keevan's point.
Thank you.
You happy with that? I've defended you suitably?
Yes, now...
Back to Sean on the line. Sorry, Sean, you've heard Scott Sinclair there. You know, he says, I felt a tug on my arm and I went down. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a penalty. There is absolutely... I can't even believe that people were having a debate about it. He was held back by
an opponent. Really, Sean, that to me, right... And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but that's where I struggle. Because you're not... If you think it's a penalty, Sean, that's fine, because like I say, everyone's different, but you're not telling me it was a stonewaller, surely not.
See, this is where I've got the issue with yourself, right? Just look at the rules. That clarifies it for everybody. We can debate it all night, but the rules are the rules, whether we agree with them or not.
Why then? That's what I'm saying, Sean. So that's what I'm asking. Why then, if it's so nailed on, because I'm not saying it was or wasn't a penalty, but if it's so nailed on and so 100% in your mind, Why
is all a debate?
And why would Chris Sutton say it wasn't a penalty? Why would Neil Lennon say it wasn't a penalty?
Being asked if it's a debate. See, on Saturday, right?
Could you just answer that point about Chris Sutton and Neil Lennon just before we go?
They're both wrong. They are both wrong.
Okay, that's fair enough. No, that's fair. That is fair, because that's your opinion. I have no problem with that.
It's not my opinion. It's the laws of the game. You're missing the point.
Yeah, but you have to interpret laws, Sean.
Yeah, and the referee interpreted the law that the player was held, which he was.
Sean, so, have you ever seen, and you've been going to see Celtic for years and years, have you ever seen Celtic get a penalty that you thought, ooh, that's a bit soft?
Quite a few, Hugh. Quite a few.
Which ones spring to mind?
Spring to mind. But we got one at Tynecastle when Gaudete slipped and he was given a penalty.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and it was never a penalty. There was no contact. But I'm honest enough to say that. But do you know what? It's been really pleasing for me today, because there's a lot of people who are obviously very unhappy. Hugh, one of your colleagues, your old colleagues, wrote in one of the papers at the weekend, I saw it online, he was basically pleading for Motherwell to win for the good of Scottish football, right? But here we have a cup, a team going for four trophies in a row, who have put Scottish football on the map. We've not lost a game in 65 matches. We've got Brendan Rodgers, who's been one of the best managers to ever grace Scottish football, but yet he's pleading for Motherwell to please, please beat Celtic. It was actually quite embarrassing. And we've actually had an ex-Motherwell player's wife come out and make a statement today on social media. And I just think to myself, for goodness sake, man, it's laughable.
Okay, well, thanks to Sean in Prestwick, Hugh. If you look at that clock, that means I've got Amber waiting in the wings, as we always do at this time every night. Rangers fans, let's hear from you, because Alex McLeish has said today he's not been approached about the job. That's despite one bookie stopping taking bets on him returning to Ibrox. So all very strange. We're going to hear more on that situation after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of talk about this penalty decision yesterday at Hampden. We did try and kick off the show by talking about the football. Hugh Keevans hasn't quite caught on in the calls. Let's turn our attentions to this ongoing situation, and it's been ongoing for a while at Ibrox, Hugh, because strange today, Ladbrokes, one of the bookies who suspended betting on Derek McInnes, yeah. Alex McLeish, old habits die hard.
Sorry, Derek, we didn't mean to mention you.
On Alex McLeish becoming the next Rangers manager, that tends to suggest a couple of things, but mostly that a lot of money's been put on it, basically. Yeah. Only for Alex McLeish to come out this afternoon and say, no, that's not the case. Rangers haven't approached me at all. So we now know that they haven't approached Derek McInnes, according to Derek McInnes,
yeah.
And they haven't approached Alex McLeish, according to Alex McLeish.
Yeah. There's a difference between betting patterns and what is actually going on.
Yeah.
Betting patterns can be such that bookmakers say, hold on, let's just suspend betting on him. But that doesn't mean to say that he, whoever he is necessarily the favourite for the job. The strange thing for me, Gordon, is that, as you rightly say, 5 weeks on Thursday since Pedro Caixinha was removed from office, and if there's going to be talks with anyone, the press get to know about it. There's a photograph or something. Someone tells somebody and it gets out. But there hasn't been a single leak. And that leads everyone, most importantly the Rangers supporters, to the conclusion that absolutely nothing has happened in the last 5 weeks. There was a suggestion that Chris Coleman was asked and said no in favour of going to Sunderland. But at the AGM, if no manager has been appointed by Thursday, and it doesn't look likely, the very first question from the floor from a shareholder must be, gentlemen, can you tell us what on earth you've been doing for the last 5 weeks?
I don't think they would need anybody to say that, Hugh. I think that the board would actually tell you. If nobody has been, you know, chosen before then, I think as soon as whoever stands up has got to tell them right away, let's start off with the manager. We all know you're all thinking the same thing. Right, here's what it is. And that's we're going to hear on Thursday, one way or another, exactly what's happening. But the worst thing you can do is go into that game, you know, with a defeat the night before against Aberdeen, and then you've got to go into that.
Sean is in Craig End. Hi, Sean.
Hi there, guys. See, to be honest, see that board, Dave King and all that, he's a shambles. He wants all the fans to put money in for share issues all the time, but he'll no dip deep in his own pocket. He promises how much money he's got to spend. He doesn't do that. He sacks a manager. It takes him 5 weeks and he's still no got a clue who he's bringing in. The board is a shambles and every one of them should be sacked.
Well,
strong stuff from Sean.
Boards don't get sacked. You know, boards are removed from in a business procedure kind of way. But Dave King, when Pedro Caixinha was appointed, and of course with the benefit of hindsight, we can all agree that it was a disastrous appointment, an ill-considered and disastrous appointment. But when the man came, he was given plenty of money. And the folly of his spending is there on the bench, in the shape of Herrera and Candeas and Pena. You know, so Rangers will have to offload these people and others will have to be brought in. And that will take money. Where it comes from, I do not know. But boards don't get sacked, you know. Yeah. They will have to get themselves out of the mess that they have got themselves into. But what they can do is inform the Rangers supporters, insofar as they can, what is going on, because it is an astonishing state of affairs to have been 5 weeks without a manager.
Yeah, and without the fans knowing anything, I certainly would go along with that. But I'll say the man's name again. Mark Allen is the man that's been brought in, the director of football. He's the man would be heavily involved in choosing the manager. As I say, it won't be his choice alone. He will interview somebody and he will go to the board and say, look, I've interviewed three or four people. This is a man who I think should be the manager.
I know you keep saying this, but he won't do it alone.
I'm just saying that he will go to the board and say to them, you know, this is my choice. That's who I think should be your manager.
Sean, when you hear Alex McLeish saying today he's not been contacted, is that something that you are disappointed about, happy with? What do you feel about that?
See, to be honest, like, I was at my last meeting at Ibrox, and we asked Stuart Robertson?
Mm-hmm. Robertson, yeah.
We asked him who appointed Pedro Caixinha, and he couldn't even answer the group. He's like, just basically changed the subject, and I think that's quite poor for shareholder fans who invest money into the club, and basically the fan groups don't even get straight answers.
Well, the 1872 group, who have a large shareholding in the club, they are currently leading the campaign for information, and that will come to a head on Thursday. Caixinha, as I say, in retrospect, disastrous appointment. Money spent in the transfer market that's now a problem, because good luck trying to get that money back on some of the players that have landed at Ibrox. But 5 weeks without a manager. I think that also reflects badly on Mark Allen, because if he is there to suggest who should replace Pedro Caixinha, then you are in a position where you're wondering if he has given his opinion and it's already been rejected, which makes his position tenuous. So Thursday, there must be answers, because the supporters are demanding clarity.
Yeah.
And if they don't get it, then a lot of unhappy people.
Yeah.
Let's hear from former Rangers captain Lee McCulloch, because he's had some words of sympathy for Graham Murty. We all saw Graham Murty after the defeat at Dens Park on Friday night. Looked very frustrated, upset, whatever you want to call it, with the way things have been playing out. You know, he's still in charge, and since it's Monday evening, well, it looks like he'll still be in charge when Aberdeen come to Ibrox as well. Here's what Lee McCulloch made of that situation.
There's two sides, and I don't think it's very fair on Graham Murty. I think at the start, everybody's saying Rangers don't need to appoint, the board don't need to appoint a manager, because Graham Murty's good enough to steady the ship and take the club forward or stabilise it until somebody comes in. And then it's two not so good results, and all of a sudden it's Graham Murty's not good enough and we need a manager, and 2 weeks ago. So there's two sides. There's definitely two sides. All I can say is Graham Murty's in a high pressure situation, and he's a fantastic coach, and he's somebody that's done well before. So yes, the fans are shouting out to get a manager in, and I think there should be one in. But I think it's, I also see it for the other side of where Graham Murty's sitting in that high pressure seat, and getting hung out to dry a little bit.
Derek, Lee McCulloch says Graham Murty is being hung out to dry. Would you agree with that?
I don't think he says he's being hung out to dry. I mean, he's in there, and I think Lee's absolutely 100% correct. You know, he's in there to steady the ship. The first two games, great, yeah, we can't take our time. But you know, that only lasts a week or so, because the first time, and we said it on this programme, you know, the first defeat, I'll be one of them, well, we need a manager, this is not good enough. And certainly only getting 1 point out of nine hasn't helped. I think if everybody now wants Rangers, you know, to bring this manager in. And again, I've no idea. People keep coming up to me and say, well, do you know what's going on in there? Who's the new manager? If I knew who the new manager was, I'd be putting my bets on him and everything else. I have no idea. But it now looks as if it is going to be a Scotsman. It might be an Alec McLeish or somebody else, somebody that knows the club. Because
saying he hasn't been approached as of today
doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to be the man. They can approach him tomorrow or whatever.
Hugh, is Graham Murty being hung out to dry, as Lee McCulloch says?
Yes, I believe he has.
Yeah.
Time ran out on Graham Murty when Hamilton Accies won their first league game at Ibrox for 91 years. And his appearance at the post-match press conference at Dens Park was distressing to watch, because he clearly is feeling the strain. And I don't think any Rangers supporter would blame Graham Murty if Rangers lost home and away to Aberdeen. But I do believe the time it's taken, the way he's been left holding the fort, and with the fort crumbling all around him, I believe he has been hung out to dry.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson both standing by to take you on at Beat the Pundit. So if you fancy your chances, why not pick up the phone and get in touch with us right now? You know the number, 01419511025, and you could be playing Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is indeed time for Beat the Pundit, just after 7 o'clock, as we do every night. Let's meet tonight's contestant. It's Callum Thompson from East Kilbride. Hi Callum.
Hi there.
How you doing? You alright?
I'm not too bad. How's yourself?
You're a Celtic fan, Callum. Another unhappy Celtic fan, I would imagine, after yesterday.
No, unhappy. I'm pretty happy.
No, happy, I said. Happy.
No, it's just because some of the phone calls just phoned up and they were wondering about the penalty stuff. Ah, it's another win, so it's another one on the 65th. So, keep going.
It is indeed, Hugh Keevans. They keep racking up. Callum, I'm going to toss this coin. If you had a preference, who would you like to take on?
Oh, I'd like to place you the specky tube.
The specky tube. I wondered how long it would be before that came up there.
My wife heard that or watched it for the first time today and burst out laughing.
Listen, if you can't get support off, it was her that sent it in. Honestly, I'm still finding it funny, Hugh. About a week on, I'm wondering how long it's going to last. Right, Callum, heads it's Hugh Keevan, so I'll give him his real title. Tails it's Derek Johnson. Oh, and it is heads. You've got your wish. Let's line up Mr. Hugh Keevans. Give him some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't steal your answers. Okay, Callum, it's 30 seconds. Head to head. You can pass, remember. This is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Yep.
Right. Let's do it. Who scored and also received a red card for Kilmarnock in their loss to Aberdeen?
Keepy and James Forrest.
Who are the third? Who are third in the Scottish Championship?
Inverness.
How many times have Celtic won the League Cup?
16.
East Fife beat which team by 6-0 on Saturday?
Arbroath.
Which former Rangers player has been placed in charge of AC Milan?
Caputo.
Who won the Women's Scottish Cup beating Glasgow City 3-0? And who does Stenhouse Muir share Ockleview with?
Stolen.
Okay. Bring Hugh Keevans back. Are you with us?
I am.
You are, okay. Same set of questions to you, Mr. Keevans. Let's get the 30 seconds lined up. Okay. Who scored and also received a red card for Kilmarnock in their loss to Aberdeen?
Jordan Foster.
Who are third in the Scottish Championship?
Livingston.
How many times have Celtic now won the League Cup?
17.
East Fife beat which team by 6-0 on Saturday?
Pass.
Which former Rangers player has been placed in charge of the AC Milan first team?
Gattuso.
Who won the Women's Scottish Cup beating Glasgow City 3-0?
Hibs.
And who does Stenhouse Muir share Ockleview Park with?
East Stirling.
Okay. Now I must admit, wasn't that Airdrie score 6-1? It was 6-1. So anyway, this is written down as 6-0 in front of me. But anyway, you got the gist. Callum, you are going to kick yourself when I read the first question back, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I just heard that there.
I tell you what, all this talk of red cards and yellow cards, that was a clear yellow to you for diving in. I said, who scored and received a red card for Kilmarnock in their loss to Aberdeen? Callum was saying Kipre and Dembele and all sorts. He obviously thought I was going to say something different. It was Jordan Jones, you said.
Jordan Foster.
So, 0-0 to kick us off. Third in the Scottish Championship is Livingston. Well done, Hugh Keevans. 1-0 up. Celtic have now won the League Cup 17 times. 2-0 to Hugh Keevans. East Fife beat Airdrieonians 6-1. But I said 6-0. You know, it's fine. You got the gist. So 2-0 to Hugh Keevans. Which former Rangers player has been placed in charge of AC Milan? It is Gattuso. You both got that correct. Who won the Women's Scottish Cup? It was Hibs. You both got that correct. And who does Stenhouse Muir share Ockleview Park with? East Stirlingshire. So it was a 5-3 win for Hugh Keevans. Not a bad effort, Callum. If you had just listened a bit more carefully on the first question,
Callum,
you would have still lost, but it would have been closer.
I'll say one thing to you, Callum. Not a bad result for a tube.
Good stuff. Thanks to Callum Thompson in East Kilbride. Beat the pundit. We'll be back same time tomorrow night. Jordan Foster.
I know. Honestly. I don't know where that came from.
I know.
Is there a Jordan Foster?
Former Hibs defender.
Yeah.
Where's he now?
Oh, he was down south. Oh, now you're testing me. I'll get back to you on that one.
He's in Division 1 down south.
So there we are. That was that. Thanks for playing Beat the Pundit. Let's go straight back to the phone lines where we can. Gary's in Newton Mearns. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. Hi, panel.
Hi, Gary.
Good evening. I've got 2 points. Firstly, the shambolic thing that is the manager trying to get a new manager at Rangers, and I actually do fear that Wednesday night will be a barrel load of goals against us from Aberdeen. Murty, I don't think is the. Oh, he's steadying the ship. He took the praises when we win. He should take it on the chin when we get beaten. The teams lacked bite. The defence, the midfield, there was nobody in the midfield. I think they missed Dorans a heck of a lot. And I just want to know what the panel thinks.
To be fair, Gary, when he was appointed as under-20s coach, the last thing that Graham Murty would have expected would that he would have been left at the controls for almost 5 weeks after Pedro Caixinha, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he is taking his share of the blame. He's not trying to duck anything, but I think he's been hung out to dry, having been left in this position for so long. And I think the Rangers board on Thursday have to tell us what it is. Is it due diligence and that's why it's taking so long, or is it inactivity and they don't know?
The reason I suggest that he's not being hung out to dry, Hugh, is he would be informed every day what's happening. Because he's got to know, am I taking the team for Wednesday? Am I taking them on Saturday? So he would be told by whoever there at Rangers, look, take them for another bit. And he would know, he's more up to date than all of us are on where Rangers are with the management team. That's why I don't think he's been hung out to dry.
You've played for the club, you know the club intimately. When Hamilton Accies won at Ibrox for the first time in 91 years, it should have been the thing that set the alarm bells off, so that the directors could look at one another and say, and bring in Mark Allen and say, we now have to have a manager in here this week. That did not happen. They've now lost another game to another club from the bottom six. Dundee were bottom of the league when Rangers went there on Friday night, and they're now off the bottom because they could beat Rangers. So with two games looming against Aberdeen, for Rangers still not to have someone in place, I think is a serious sign of a board that might not actually know who they want.
That's the bigger picture, Derek. What about Gary's other point then, in terms of purely footballing?
This penalty.
Alright, sorry Gary, no, I was just going to ask Derek on your comments about the team, you know, and Graham Dorans and in the midfield and so on.
Well, Graham Dorans, to be fair, hadn't been doing it all that well. I mean, I think he's a decent player, don't get me wrong, but I think you're right when you said the lack of fight, and that's what gets to me. And I think supporters will accept it. If they can see you going out there and you're running, you're giving 100% and you're getting stuck in, and sometimes the ball's not going in the back of the net, as with Morelos, I think players can accept that to a certain degree. But it's the easy way. I'm not saying they lie down, but when they lose a goal, or lost the second goal against Dundee, you know, there wasn't that fight. There was nobody there shaking heads and, come on, let's get here, we need this equaliser. There's no leadership. There was nothing there. And that tells me there's a lack of confidence in that side.
You want to make a final point, Gary?
Yeah, I'll go back to this penalty. And I'm neutral here because I really didn't watch the game. I did see the penalty. But I heard an interview with Sinclair and he said, I was touched, so I went down. And this brings me back to Andy Walker, who says, if he's touched, he should go down. It may not be breaking any. He may be cheating, not cheating. But it is breaking the spirit of the game and sportsmanship. The players go down easily. And it is my bugbear. I hate when they put hands on at the corner, when they're going up, their hands are in an unnatural position. But when a player goes down, are we that soft in football now? Because I remember watching DJ and some of the tackles that went in the penalty box, and the referee just played on and blew on and play on. But they go down so easily, and I think it's a sad indictment of football, or football in general, where as soon as you're touched, you go down.
Gary,
you're cheating.
It is symptomatic of 2017 football. It didn't happen in Derek's day. There was no such thing as simulation in Derek's day. But now it is a simple fact of life that if players feel anything whatsoever...
Yeah, and the game's just changed.
They hit the deck.
Because for all this debate, Hugh Keevans, and my goodness, it's been going on and on and on, I don't think there's any doubt. Even everyone who thinks it's a stonewall penalty, whatever, I'm sure everyone would accept that it went down easily. That's not really the debate here.
Uh-huh.
How much do referees have to answer for in terms of, I think it was the first caller tonight, wasn't it, raised the point about Scott Sinclair against Hibs earlier in the season, and he was quite clearly tugged back by Effie Ambrose, and the conclusion that most people came to was, had he gone down, he would have got the penalty. So a lot of time is spent blaming players sometimes. What about the referee's position?
Let me say two things. Craig Thompson is a very, very experienced official. He and Willie Collum are regarded as the SFA's elite referees. He should have done better yesterday. He has not had a good season. On the other hand, he and all referees are victims of 21st century cynicism. The Corinthian spirit died a long time ago. And now you had the example of the Everton player, not this weekend, but the weekend before, who was found guilty of deceiving the referee and has now been given a 2-match suspension. But he got a penalty kick.
Yeah.
And Everton got a draw. So in the 21st century, the Corinthian spirit is dead and cynicism is alive and well.
Thanks to Gary in Newton Mearns for that call. Let's hear from Derek McInnes. He says he's delighted to return to winning ways yesterday, but says previous poor results had nothing to do with speculation linking him to that Rangers job. Now, the Aberdeen boss spoke of his frustration, you'll remember, at the end of last week. They bounced back from the 2-0 home defeat to Motherwell with a 3-1 win at Kilmarnock.
I wasn't aware of any unsettlement. Obviously, it's an easy thing to, when you lose a game, to maybe assume, you know, but, you know, I feel as though we've been working normal. You know, sometimes you do the work as you do, you prepare the team, you set them up and we go and the kickoff comes and you don't always get the result, as was last week. And last week was a sore one and we were awful, said that. But today we've done the work this week, we've done a lot of one-to-one stuff with players and we get the reward for working hard. And as I say, hopefully we can be something similar. I think we've always shown November, December, traditionally, we're a good team.
So there we are. Derek McInnes was very frustrated at the end of last week, Hugh, and he was saying there that he doesn't think the defeat to Motherwell had any, you know, anything to do with this background distraction. Well, he says, you know, that there wasn't a distraction. Whatever it was, he'll have been delighted to just get 90 minutes under his belt, concentrate in football and come away with 3 points.
And they also got those 3 points in spite of another ridiculous decision by the match officials, who chopped off another goal for Aberdeen that was so onside it wasn't funny, especially if you were Derek McInnes. So they are back to being somewhere near their best. They go to Ibrox, they'll get a hot reception.
Aberdeen, I think so.
Yes. Rangers Aberdeen, or Aberdeen Rangers, as it will be on Sunday. One of the hottest figures on our particular schedule. But they go there in good fettle, and Rangers are going to have to dig out a performance from somewhere if they want anything out of that game, because Rangers at the moment have the look of a soft touch about them.
Yeah, I think Aberdeen are favourites into it. I mean, the bookmakers will disagree with that and put Rangers favourites, but I think when you look at both teams and the way they've played this season, I think a lot of people will fancy Aberdeen. And you're right, Hugh, and I've said it for the last three games, if Rangers are not up for it and they don't show that willingness and that giving 100% and everybody behind each other, then they won't get a result. The thing that's going to intrigue me, and I'm going to go to the game, is, you know, Derek McInnes is not one of these managers that sits in the dugout. You know, he's out standing the whole 90 minutes out in that little rectangle that he is, and he's shouting and bawling. And you know what these Rangers fans around him are like. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of reception Derek receives. Never mind his team.
Stuart's a Rangers fan in Paisley. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, how you doing, panel? Yeah, good evening.
Hi, Stuart.
I'd like to talk to Derek, please.
Mm-hmm. I'm here, Stuart.
Hi, Derek. Well, I've just got a couple of points I want to make. The first point is I've been going to Ibrox for 30 years now. I've been going since I was 5 years of age. I've been through all the happy times and the sad times. Mm-hmm. I feel so let down by my club tonight. I mean, personally, we've got a chairman there who is swanning back and forward to South Africa. The club's going through probably one of the hardest times. Obviously, Pedro didn't work out. We all know that. But the first point I'd like to make is how the board feel it's acceptable. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a season ticket holder. I pay my money.
Yeah.
I pay for my little brother to go as well. And at the end of the day, I'm a customer of the club.
Yeah.
I think I've got a right to know what's going on. And there's just nothing. I mean, here we are in the midst of two of the biggest games of the season, back-to-back games against Aberdeen, who are sitting second in the league, and we just don't know what's happening. Nobody's telling the fans anything. That's my first point.
Yeah, well, you know, just to answer, I mean, I've got sympathy with you, and I think you're absolutely 100% correct. I think something should have come out of Rangers. Either, you know, we've got things in hand and shortly there will be a manager. You know, just saying anything, just tell the Rangers fans something.
Yeah.
Because there's absolutely nothing coming out. But the one thing guaranteed, Stuart, is that, you know, the AGM's on Thursday, so something will definitely come out there.
Yeah.
You know, and if Rangers don't come out themselves and say something, then you know what it's like when they get an hour and questions, you know, at the end of it. That's the very, very first question that somebody's going to ask.
I just feel that, as well, the club's gone back the way. I mean, even Warburton had done not a bad job, and then obviously Pedro came in and got rid of players like Garner, Waghorn, O'Halloran. These guys are scoring goals for fun, Derek.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, the club has gone back the way, and just for Rangers Football Club to be in the state it's in is just so, so disappointing.
We'll say to you, Stuart, about that, about, you know, the Rangers players that have gone away scoring goals for fun. You know, look where they're playing.
Well, Well, that's
true. You know, so you've got to look at that as well, to be fair. And yeah. the bottom line is they weren't doing it for Rangers.
No.
That's the reason that they've gone. The one thing I would say to you, and you mentioned one of them, I think O'Halloran will be back in January.
Well, that's,
now, whether the Rangers fans like that or not, I think that was a huge, huge mistake, letting him go.
Definitely. The other point I've got to make, if you don't mind, is... in terms of Rangers at the moment, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one man that can fix Rangers at the moment. He's proven before he can come in when Rangers were in rock bottom, and that's Walter Smith. I know it's unlikely, but to me, he's the only person that can come in, get him in to the end of the season, and then it gives us more time to appoint the right man. I don't know what your opinion is.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Walter Smith knows everything is going there, but I'm afraid his wife Ethel wouldn't allow him to do that. I think Walter's now out, he's enjoying himself, looking after his grandkids, he's going on holidays, he goes golfing.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to get Walter back, but you know, you're right, I think the majority of Rangers fans certainly would love Walter to be involved
in
something at the club. You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for your time tonight, guys.
Why would Walter Smith want to put his past reputation with Rangers on the line when they're in the state that they're in at the moment? I just don't see it being fair. And you're quite right, he's got far more important things to do with himself now, and there is no chance whatsoever of that happening.
He still goes to the games and everything else, you know, he brings his grandkids to the games.
So
as
does
well.
Andy Cameron, but they won't make him the manager either.
And the thing is as well, I suppose it depends, Hugh, what type of approach, if it's a quick fix or if it's supposed to be something a bit longer term.
Because as good as Walter Smith was
in his time at Rangers, it's pretty obvious which category he would be.
I don't buy into this idea of get someone to the end of the season. If Rangers still think of themselves as a big club, the twin pillars of Scottish football were always Celtic and Rangers. If Rangers think of themselves in that way, they can't be in the business of managers to the end of the season. You make an appointment and you believe in that man's ability to close the gap between Rangers and Celtic. It might take a year, might take 2 years, might take longer, but you have to believe in this man's ability to do that.
We're going to get these to a full-time teaser, but something very important I want to discuss with you before that. Christian
Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. One.
Now, if you're a regular listener to the show and you were listening last week, you will know that our Mission Christmas 2017 is well underway, and a massive thank you if you've already donated. Well, if you want to get involved, we do have one particular way you can make fundraising just a bit fun. You can join in with us on our Christmas Jumper Day, Friday the 8th of December. Hugh Keevans, you'll have a nice Christmas jumper looked out for that. You'll be here as well, Friday the 8th of December, Christmas Jumper Day. You could get your whole work involved, maybe ask a teacher if your class can take part, drive your taxi in the loudest, brightest Christmas jumper you can find. Wear your jumper with a smile and donate to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. To help, you have to all you have to do is text Clyde to 70808. That donates £5. So that's texting Clyde to 70808, and your full donation, every last penny of it, goes towards helping kids who need it the most within Glasgow and the West. So raise money, have fun for Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. We're teaming up with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, and remember, the key point, all the money raised stays here and helps our most vulnerable children right on our doorstep.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As we always do at this time, let's get these to a full-time teaser. This one's been sent in by Mick. Mickey Boy is the email address. And if you want to send one in, guys, remember, we are here at full-time at ClydeOne.com. That's full-time at ClydeOne.com. Get your teasers in and we'll try and catch the guys out. So he says, since 1995, the following Scandinavian countries, Norway, Denmark and Sweden, have had players capped while playing for Celtic and Rangers. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, can you name the Celtic and Rangers players capped by these countries who have scored in an Old Firm derby?
Right, Larsson and Mjällby.
So I can tell you, there are 10 in total.
Larsson and Mjällby?
No, Mjällby's not one, Larsson, yes, is one.
Oh.
Remember, have to have scored in that fixture. So either from Norway, Denmark or Sweden.
Brattback.
No. Any more at the moment? Any coming from you, DJ? Maybe from a Rangers perspective?
Just thinking Sweden.
No, no more at the moment.
Austin Stat, no.
No. Okay, Kenny's in Motherwell. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, Kenny.
Oh. Hugh Keevans, I'm gunning for you.
Oh, there's a surprise. That normally doesn't happen to me.
Aye, right.
You just absolutely lambasted a Celtic fan for not praising Brendan Rodgers because of his achievements.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as a Motherwell fan, I look on and I look at Celtic and I look at everything that they've got behind them. And the pious and entitled supporters that they have behind them, they would accept, and they should have had this long, long time ago. And everybody knows it. Everybody was on here shouting and bawling, Ronnie Dial is this and that. Can he achieve this? He should have been able to get a treble. Couldn't he do it? Rangers weren't even in the league. And everything that they have behind them, this is the very least of what Celtic fans have expected for years. And now they've got it. They're just like, well, we expected to get it. That title meant nothing to them yesterday. Absolutely nothing to them and their supporters. We were there as a small club that was built by a team that was literally cashed in with ginger bottles. That's what we managed to get our team together with. We had 14 players signed this season, and Robinson has been an absolute breath of fresh air with what he's been able to achieve. And Celtic turned up yesterday, being able to sign guys like Paddy Roberts for Man City and Scott Sinclair and Incham for £5 million.
So why precisely are you gunning for me? What have I done?
Because you think this is some sort of major achievement. And that, you know, somebody went and said as well that, you know, they've put Scottish football on the map. Put Scottish football on the map.
Yeah, but
I
didn't say that. So go gun for him. I'll answer for me. It is a tremendous achievement. The man went through all of last season, didn't lose a game at domestic level, and won a treble, and became only the third manager in Celtic's history to do so. He has now surpassed a 100-year record within Scottish football, set by a former Celtic manager, Willie Mealy.
Whistles that you could possibly have at his disposal. At least when Jock Steen had done
No, Kenny, you're out of order. Because you still have to, with all of the resources available to him, yes, that's true, but he took a team largely made up of players that Ronnie Dyla had, and he transformed them. And he now provides more than half of Scotland's national team as well, such as the transformation that has taken place. And he did go through a season and it was invincible, and he continues to be invincible, and he has won 4 domestic trophies in a row.
That for Scottish football's whole, because Celtic fan came on early on and went and said that it's laughable that they say it's bad for the Scottish game that Celtic have got a clean sweep. It's terrible for the Scottish game that they've got a clean sweep and they've went unbeaten this long. That they can go to Europe and get found out and get absolutely rogered 7-1 by PSG. Absolutely destroyed. And they're supposed to be our flagship.
Well,
the domestic teams haven't been able to lay
a claw on them. Listen, you're coming on attempting to belittle an incredible achievement. And sorry, Kenny, but no, you're out of order.
Thanks to Kenny and Motherwell for those thoughts. How are you two getting on with the teaser anymore?
John Johansson? No.
So we're looking for players from Norway, Denmark or Sweden who've scored for Celtic against Rangers or for Rangers against Celtic
Mark
and have
Reaper.
Been capped.
Mark Reaper.
No.
Jonas Tern.
Yes, 1998.
Well, that's a good one. That was a good
one. So you've got two Swedes, Jonas Tern and Henrik Larsson so far. Okay, we'll get back to it. What about these comments from Neil Lennon over the weekend? On a Monday, we always try and look back over all the games. We like to try and give everyone a bit of attention. It's been quite difficult tonight. There's only been one thing on most people's minds. Neil Lennon, remember, Hibs won 1-0 draw at Hamilton at the weekend. But Neil Lennon, very, very angry with the Hamilton approach after the game. Let's remind ourselves with what Neil Lennon had to say at full time.
We got no protection today at all. We're going to lose John McGinn either. He goes to England or he'll end up in hospital. The quality of tackling was a disgrace from the opposition. I think the tackle count was, or foul count was 19-7. they had 5 yellow cards. How they ended up with 11 men on the pitch is beyond me. If you see our goal again, 2 of them tried to take Barker out. No attempt to play the ball. Referee should have went back to it and booked them. The tackle on McGinn at the end is disgraceful. We should have had a penalty on McGeoch. Redmond took him out as he's gone to cross the ball. And we believe there may have been a foul in the build-up to their goal. So I'm very frustrated. Not with my team. I thought my team were brilliant. But disappointed with the referee. I thought he was completely out of his depth. We're going back to the 1950s. Alisson Hill, I like a tackle. I like the game played the right way. I like hard men, but anyone can kick people. And we were just, they were taking swipes at us at every opportunity that they could. And it's not on.
Did you speak to him afterwards?
No, I've not had a chance yet. I don't know if I'll get the opportunity. You need to see it back. It's just beyond belief. Some of the challenges that were in that game, it was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. John McGinn got kicked up the backside in the box and volleyed, and no one saw it. Then he gets booked, having been fouled, like a petulant little trip on him. He's off balance and he goes in for a tackle. Referee gives a free kick to us, but books John. It's just unbelievable.
No, we were here, so we see the highlights and we don't see the full 90 minutes.
And that's the problem.
But Neil Lennon, very, very angry, wasn't he?
We've only seen a few moments. I would say that there is a foul on a Hibs player, which was not given, which then led to Hamilton's equaliser. And I think that is the source of Neil's frustration because Hibs were clearly the dominant side. The Ackies had very few attempts at goal and Hibs' chance to go second top of the league was taken away from them. It should have been a foul. How the referee missed it. But we say this all the time about all the games. As I say, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen are denied a certain goal because of an offside decision that is horribly wrong. I'm not going to refer to Hampden because we've got an hour and a half about it now. But I think that was the source of Neil's frustration. That one particular foul that should have been given wasn't, and it led to the Ackies equaliser.
It was a similar situation, you know, that game, Motherwell and Celtic as well, because if Hamilton wanted to play football, then Hibs, I think, would have ran over the top of them. So Hamilton have got to do that. They've got to make sure they work hard and get in and about Hibs. I mean, you're right, we only seen 3 or 4 minutes, the highlights, and there were a couple of meaty challenges, you're right. And I agree with you. The one thing I will agree with you, Neil, is the John McGinn one. I can't understand why the referee gave the free kick to John and then booked him for it. He'd done absolutely nothing wrong, as far as I can see. You know, but listen, sometimes you're going to do that. And I think that's a wee tick in the box for Neil Lennon, because everybody knows his side's a good footballing side, so teams are going to have to try and stop them as well. And yeah, he needs referees to be stronger. I would agree with that. I would say that for every team and every referee, you've got to be a bit stronger, because if our game is starting to get physical again, then the referees are going to have to make decisions.
Alec is in Drummoyne. Hi, Alec.
Hi, good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Hello.
Can I speak to Derek, please?
Yes,
Derek,
sir.
Can I say what I've got to say before you jump in here?
Absolutely.
Right, Derek.
I know you're a Rangers fan.
I know you're a Rangers fan, and for years I've been listening to you on the radio, mate. And it started being my nothing. honestly.
It's been my nothing as well.
You've been a high-profile person on the radio. You should be supporting the Rangers fans, ever mind leading them down the garden path. For the simple reason, as soon as that chairman came in, he stated he was spending X amount of money. He never spent any a penny's own money. He's not spent a penny's own money. He spent it through the Rangers fans giving him the money and getting loans. Then you've turned around and says the managers, get him a transfer window, get him another transfer window. Derek, you just need to get your boy out that big circle you're in, because that isn't it. You should be really honest with the Rangers fans, never mind sitting there saying, aye, give them this, give them that. See, first, the Rangers don't win on Wednesday. You'll need to employ more security guards for this meeting that come Thursday. I'm a Celtic supporter. I'm actually loving it. I'm loving it because the 9 in a row, we get it thumbed into us. You know what I mean? So it's payback time. You know, a 9 in a row, and all the other wee clubs, and that guy Kenny was on just a few minutes ago, he needs to take that medication because it's not working. You know what I mean?
Derek, I suppose if you kind of follow on from Alex's point, how long would you give the board then? When do you think the time is up to try and get one?
I think we'll hear all about it on Thursday. I think they've got to. The board, they're not that silly. They know, and they're reading, they're listening, to this programme. They know the Rangers fans, and some Celtic fans obviously as well. you know, they want to know exactly what's happening. And I think that will happen on Thursday. But they do have to get their finger out. Absolutely. I go along with that. But the one thing about me is, no matter what manager comes into Rangers, and I've always said, you've got to give him a chance. People might not like him. Whether you give him 3 months or 2 months or whatever, results will tell whether somebody is doing a job or not. And it's the same with players. I've always given players a chance. It's difficult, especially coming from South America. You're coming into a Rangers side, different culture. The weather's horrendous and everything else. I would give people a chance. Now that I've seen them, there's very, very few I would keep in the side. And I've said that umpteen times.
There are two issues, one off the park, one on the park. The one on the park is the inability to name a manager 5 weeks after the last one left. And to be in a position where Rangers have a run of games, Aberdeen home and away, Hearts, Hibs, Celtic before the end of the year. The Rangers fans are clamouring for a manager and should have had one before the Aberdeen sequence of matches came along, but they clearly won't have. I believe there's a chance that Rangers could drop into the bottom six, unless they're careful, in the five games that come between now and the end of the year. So the fans are looking for an inspirational choice of manager. The off-the-field situation with Rangers, when will the club attain sustainability? In other words, when will they be out of the position where they need to exist on loans? That will be the position, I believe, certainly for all of 2018 as well, that Rangers will exist on loans. When will the club be able to be self-sustaining? So, big questions for the shareholders. And, you know, that Kenny's right insofar as, although Kenny's a Celtic supporter.
Alec.
Oh, beg your pardon, Alec. The fans really must get answers, and soon.
Alec, I'm quite up against it time-wise, but I do want to let you back in, so make it very quick.
Yeah, at least when we knew where Ferguson stands, Ferguson McCann, when he came in, he said he was going to build a stadium, put a team in the park. Maybe took a few years to do it, but he done it. Rangers have had many times, they say they're going to put a team in the park, and they've not done it with the managers they've brought in.
Okay, thanks very much to Alec in Drummoyne. Any more on the teaser before we take a breather? We're looking for the Scandinavians that have been capped for Rangers or Celtic and scored in that fixture.
How many are there?
There are 10 in total. You've got two.
Orion Pearson.
I'll give you a clue. Right, I'll help you.
1995.
I'll give you some food for thought. You've got two from Norway, five from Denmark, and three from Sweden. Answers to the full time teaser coming up, hopefully, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's show, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. Lots of you are trying to help them out with this teaser that we've got going. I can see lots of answers coming in. So thanks to everyone
we're getting there.
Who is getting in touch. Sent in by Mick. We're looking for the 10 players from Norway, Denmark or Sweden have been capped by their country and have scored for Celtic against Rangers or Rangers against Celtic. You already had Henrik Larsson,
Jonas Tern.
What else have you got for me now?
Michael Lustig.
Yep.
Brian Laudrup.
Very easy one.
Tori André Flo.
Oh, better.
So you've got five. You're halfway
what
there.
What about, I don't know if he scored, Sviatchenko?
Yes. Scored in the 2-2. Well, I was going to say 2-2 draw, obviously, normal
that
time.
Game.
Yep.
Right,
penalties.
Right.
So 2016 Scottish Cup semi final. You've got 6 of 10. Will it help you if I give the nationalities? Probably not, but I'll do it anyway. Yep. You've got 1 Norwegian to go.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 3 Danes.
3 Danes.
Mm-hmm.
And are they from
Denmark?
Denmark.
Yep, from Denmark. Danes from Denmark, yep. okay, John's in Parkhead. In the meantime, hi John.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi John.
Hi. You'll be glad to hear that I'm not going to mention the word penalty, you know. Talk about something else.
Good stuff, John.
Hi. No, I want to talk about the fixtures that's coming up on Wednesday and the weekend between Celtic and Motherwell and Rangers and Aberdeen. I'm assuming that Celtic are going to win their two games, going to win on Wednesday, going to win on Saturday. And I'm saying that because I think they've got the strength and depth. They'll be able to freshen their squad up for Wednesday night, that Motherwell don't have that luxury. But what I want to know is, What score or scores do you think will be beneficial to Celtic's cause between Rangers and Aberdeen?
I suppose that's a roundabout way of saying who are going to be Celtic's closest challengers here. Yeah. That's what it boils down to.
Well, I mean, the nightmare scenario for Rangers would be two defeats, which would put them 12 points behind Aberdeen and 15 behind Celtic. So that's the nightmare scenario. The dream scenario for Rangers is that they win at Ibrox and at Pittodrie.
Yeah.
In which case, game on again.
Yeah, but from a Celtic perspective, you.
I mean, I don't think Brendan Rodgers probably he doesn't have to worry too much. But take John's question for what it is, Hugh. What should Celtic prefer?
I think we might prefer a draw. Two draws.
Prefer Aberdeen to win at Pittodrie and Rangers to win at Ibrox, maybe. And that way they both get damaged, and Celtic would then have Rangers to play, not immediately, but before the end of the year, they'd have Rangers at Celtic Park.
If you I'm with Derek, I think two draws and they both drop 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I suppose arithmetically that would be the one, wouldn't it, John? You got a gut feeling who you think is more likely to challenge Celtic, is the right word, or be closest to Celtic?
Well, I was looking at the Aberdeen Kilmarnock game of the weekend on the television, and I was very impressed with Aberdeen. I thought their midfield was absolutely brilliant, you know. So I think they're the strongest team.
Whatever way you look at it, Hugh Keevans, and we can put all controversy to one side, and even off-field matters surrounding managers or whatever, but there are a set of circumstances this week which means we've got a cracking midweek fixture card for a number of reasons, and we should just embrace it and enjoy it.
I mean, Ibrox on Wednesday night will be absolutely rocking because, as Derek pointed out earlier, the very last thing in this world that Rangers need is to have a third defeat in a row the night before the annual general meeting, which is going to be feisty anyway. But if Rangers lose at home to Aberdeen, it'll be even worse on Thursday. Motherwell will want to get revenge on Celtic by becoming, at the 66th time of trying, the first domestic side to beat Celtic. That would be their revenge for what happened at Hampden yesterday. And I don't mean penalties and orderings off. I mean the fact that Celtic won the cup. So Stephen Robinson will be out to get that. Then we roll on to Saturday, Celtic at Motherwell. Celtic have Motherwell at Celtic Park, and Sunday, Rangers at Pittodrie. So it could not be better in terms of excitement, intrigue. Mm. Call it what you will.
I'm going to say something I never ever thought I would ever say.
Oh,
honestly, for the Rangers game on Wednesday night against Aberdeen, you look at Rangers' home record so far this season; it's been absolutely poor.
Yeah,
and you've got an Aberdeen side that have come back, a good win there yesterday against Kilmarnock, and they'll come to Ibrox, you know, desperate to do something. I think for the first time, I think Rangers have got to talk about packing their midfield and actually see if they get a point on Wednesday. I think that would be a good point. The way they've been playing, and I never thought I would ever say that at home, Rangers packed their midfield against a side out with Celtic. But that's it. I mean, to get a point is far better than losing the game to Aberdeen. And the way that Rangers are playing at this moment in time, I think the manager actually might take a point before a ball is kicked.
In terms of the question that was asked to us, who would Celtic rather drop points, which John asked. Again, if Rangers appointed an inspirational manager, then it could change the complexion of the second half of the season. If Rangers continue to be inactive, giving rise to speculation that they just don't know who they want, can't afford who they want, whatever is the case, then it'll be a bad second half of the season for them, and Aberdeen will certainly be the ones who are on Celtic's tail. And credit to Derek McInnes, you know, there are only 3 points separating Celtic from Aberdeen, and I do understand Celtic have a game in hand, but there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge.
Let's not forget Hibs either. Hibs are in third place, you know, and they're looking a very good side as well. It's not just Aberdeen that Rangers are what trying overall, it's Hibs as well.
Thanks to John in Parkhead for that call. Just looking ahead to the midweek fixtures.
Come into my head.
Well, let me remind you of the question. So
since
95, 10 players from Norway, Denmark or Sweden who've scored for Rangers against Celtic or Celtic against Rangers and have been capped by their country.
I've got a belter.
Do you?
Erik Bo Anderson.
Superb. Rangers 3, Celtic 1, January 97. Remember that one, Hugh?
Yes, I do, yeah.
I think, what, did he get 2? Yeah, I think so. I think it was 2. Anyway, scored nevertheless. So only a couple more. 1, 2, 3 to go. 1 from Norway, 2 from Denmark. If you're thinking goal scorers in this fixture, the one of the Denmark ones is easy. I'm looking at you, Derek. If you're thinking Danish goal scorers for Rangers against Celtic in recent years, this one's easy. Come on.
If it was easy, I would tell you.
I'm telling you it's easy.
Hugh Keelan's... I've got the rest of them. I've done quite well.
I can see him, but I can't name him.
Ask him.
He had a brother who played here as well, I think. Yeah. Not that well known, though. Not going back to your sort of early mid-2000s.
Oh, Lovenkrantz.
I told you it was easy, didn't I?
Lovenkrantz. I thought you'd said him earlier, you Lovenkrantz. No.
Peter Lovenkrantz. That means you've got 1 from Norway, 1 from Denmark to go. I'll give you a clue, they're both Celtic. What high-profile Dane did Celtic sign, Hugh Keevans? And I say high-profile in terms of his CV, where he played. He was once a Galactico.
Oh,
midfielder.
He had the same hairdo as Mark Reedy and Jim Duffy. Yeah.
What was his name?
Come on, you two. Thomas
Gravesen. Right. Gravesen, yeah. I said Gravesen, yeah.
And this one is tricky, Hugh. He was a Norwegian central defender for Celtic, fairly young, baby faced as well.
Give us an initial, never mind all that nonsense.
Scored a goal against Rangers in 2012. TR. If he was in these parts, he'd maybe call him Tam. But
Tommy,
that's not
Rowe. Tommy.
Oh, come on. TR, central defender, Norwegian, scored for Celtic March 2012 in a 3-2 defeat to Rangers. I am running out of clues.
Rasmussen?
Nope.
Thomas Rasmussen.
No, first name
Thomas.
Thomas. Oh, you're struggling. Am I going to have to give you it?
Go on then.
Ronja. Thomas Ronja.
No, never got that.
Thanks to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. Callum Gallagher's up next. Don't go anywhere. Tuesday night we'll be back from 6 o'clock with Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.